You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
That's some gay couple celebrating yesterday outside of California's Supreme Court after an historic ruling legalizing same-sex marriage. It was a controversial split decision coming down 4-3 with the majority ruling to throw out a state law passed by voters defining marriage as limited to unions between a man and a woman. The court found the law in violation of the equality provisions of the state constitution. California is now the nation's largest state and the second to allow gay and lesbian marriages after Massachusetts. Brad Sears is executive director of the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law. And Brad, a very controversial decision, split down the middle almost. Will you explain the court's reasoning?
Yeah, I think the court basically held that two parts of the California Constitution meant that laws that limited marriage to different sex couples were unconstitutional. One was some provisions that create a right to marry, and the court defined that as extending to same-sex couples as well as different sex couples. Basically, any two adults who want to have their family recognized by the state. And an even broader part of the decision, the court basically said that laws which discriminate against gays and lesbians are treated with the same sort of suspicions that courts treat laws that discriminate against African Americans or other people of color, that the court will really look closely at laws that burden such people and, in this case, strike them down.
And you're really talking about a level of scrutiny called strict scrutiny, which is the highest. But there were many people who came out right away and said the court has no business making this decision. Let's take a listen to one critic.
Okay. It is not the function of the court to redefine marriage, to redefine terms. That is a legislative act. What the court did in overturning the marriage laws is essentially enact legislation from the bench.
Did the court enact legislation from the bench? And what's the argument to pro and con, Brad?
I think that's basically the split in that you see in the majority decision and in the two dissents, is that the court in the majority decision is saying, hey, we're doing our job here. We're supposed to look at the Constitution, see if laws comply with it. In this case, using our precedent here in California, we believe it doesn't. The dissenters say just the opposite. The court is overstepping. They should give more deference to the legislature, and in this case, even more deference because the people of California passed part of the laws that they struck down through an initiative process.
And there will get another opportunity if those people who are putting forth this ban on gay marriage are successful on getting it on the ballot in November. But let's talk about what the practical impact would be at this very moment. For those people, somewhere around 4,000 people who got marriage licenses, gay couples in San Francisco in 2004, does that mean now that their marriages are legal, or do they have to reapply and go through the marriage ceremony again?
They would have to reapply. I mean, if you basically think of three groups of people, here's the impact it'll have. For those who got married before in that month in San Francisco, they're not married now. They're going to have to get married after this ruling takes effect.
What about outside of California? Are these recognized marriages everywhere in the country? Is there federal law or some sort of precedent that forces states to recognize California's marriage status?
No, it's just the opposite. There's a federal law that says other states don't have to recognize same-sex marriages if any state like Massachusetts, and now California, does so. What is different about this decision as opposed to Massachusetts is for the first time a state has recognized same-sex marriage and is going to allow couples from other states to come to it to get married. So Massachusetts had a similar decision, but they had another statute which more or less ban couples from around the country from coming to Massachusetts, getting married, and going back to their home state. So I'd expect to see a lot of wedding tourism among gay couples in California.
And this is an issue, Brad, that many states have been grappling with. At least more than 40 have some kind of law in the state banning gay marriage. But the issue is still on the table in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York. In your mind, all of this state activity coming down on different sides of the fence, I mean, does this lend itself to ending up in federal court at some point soon?
Eventually it's going to. I mean, as I said, there's this federal law saying that states don't have to recognize the same-sex marriages from other states. That could be challenged on the federal constitution. No one's done so yet. And part of the reason is, you know, we've only had couples in Massachusetts being allowed to marry, and really the yes.
Oh no, I wasn't cutting you off. I was just saying, I hear what you're saying, but now we are getting to the end of our time. So that was actually pretty good timing on your part. And Brad, I have to mention, I am a UCLA alum, so great to talk to you, Brad Sears, UCLA Law alum, actually. Brad Sears, Executive Director of the Williams Institute at UCLA School of Law. Thank you.
Is that a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict of interest. I didn't do that booking. Just full disclosure here.
Oh, I see. I see. It's not one of your friends.
No, no, that was interesting. I don't know that, Professor.
I mean, the question really is, what is the precedent in state constitutions when laws are being examined and looked at federally? It's really, really interesting. Obviously, as you said, it's not going to be ending here.